Petra Cross-Maunder. She's the editor of the South African Jewish Report. Unfortunately, not able to be in a studio as she normally is. Petra, how are you?
Good morning, Howard. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. So, Petra, before we get into a conversation, I did want to come back to something I mentioned yesterday, and I believe that a number of people mentioned it. I mentioned the issue of the headline in the Jewish Report, and you felt not unreasonably that I should have waited to discuss it with you. So I do apologize for that. There certainly was no evil intent, and certainly was no intention to slight your integrity at all, because as you know, I hold you in probably one of the highest regards of anybody in this industry. So I do apologize for that. Do you want to address that quickly, and then we can bring in Simon Ploska and talk about all sorts of other things?
Sure. So, I mean, I know you questioned that it was that the story about Pick n Pay and Nussbaum's wasn't relevant for the front page, but in actual fact, it was breaking news on Wednesday, and that's as a newspaper, that's what we deal in.
Right.
And in fact, the statement from Baruch Lurie came out on Wednesday afternoon at 3 o'clock, which couldn't have been more in our time. And right. whether it is the most relevant news, I would argue that it really was, because I think that, Kashrut and meat and kosher and Nussbaum's is so central to everything we are as a community. And while I absolutely agree that Baruch Lurie has handled this like a gentleman and has done all the right things, as a newspaper, it's incumbent on us to tackle this issue and give the whole story, which if people read it would see that there was nothing missing.
Right.
We went
right.
as far as speaking to other butcheries like Maxi's and Moishi's. We went to the abattoir. We spoke to experts on listeria, and were very clear that this wasn't a danger. But listeria in any community, especially because there had been an outbreak of listeriosis very recently in South Africa, is very important and big news. And I believe that the community deserved a proper explanation as to what was going on, which is what right. we gave them.
Right. Okay, absolutely accepted. And the fact is as well that given the issues and the difficulties that South African Jews have had with kashrut over
yes.
the last couple of months, I think adds to that.
I
want to bring...
You had a particular issue around the headline. And I just want to explain how we come up with headlines. So headlines have to tell a story in of themselves. And there were a couple of things that we had to have in the headline. One was Pick n Pay. The other was Nussbaum. No, there were four things.
Right.
There was Pick n Pay, Nussbaum's meat, and listeria.
Right.
And it's a matter of how you put that in a headline to give that, because a headline is a mini story in itself.
Mm.
It's what takes you into the story. It's saying, read me. You know, I read it over and over again after I knew that you were upset about it, and I thought, well, how else were we supposed to say this?
I guess really what upset me is, and of course I also have to separate when I don't like a story. And we discussed this when you exposed, the doctor for misconduct. I said to you, I hate the story, but it's a very important one, whether I like the story or not. And I guess it's, and I guess it's the same thing here. I felt upset for the participants who were trying to do everything they could to make sure that everything was right, and their name appeared in the headline.
But all the more reason for us to tackle it. And if you read the story, if your listeners and our readers read it, you'll see that in actual fact we didn't leave anything out, and there was nothing scandalous or sensational about the story. It is 100% covered. We covered every single angle. Mm-hmm. And even Baruch Lurie himself
I think the article.
No problem with the story. The story.
Right. All right. I'm going to actually bring Simon Ploska in here because the guy is sitting here as we might as well.
Hello, Simon.
Hello.
Wait, let's switch on your mic, otherwise no one will hear you. All right. Say hello again, Simon.
Hello again, Simon.
Right. There we go. Simon says.
I'm so upset that I'm not actually meeting you person to person.
I know, I said to Petter yesterday, I've got such a great show planned with you and Simon in studio, and then Petter said, well, I can only be on Skype. So there we have it. Simon Ploska, Honest Reporting. Simon, I mean, you must have these conversations all the time.
Well, I do have to say, I must thank you, Petter, for explaining the headline in so much detail as to how you put it together and what it's supposed to do. Because this is something I deal with a lot. Unfortunately, as I'm sure you're aware, as someone in the journalism industry, headlines are sometimes or too often the only thing that people actually look at.
Right.
So therefore, you know, you're absolutely correct about the things that have to be in there. And from my perspective, of course, I see so many headlines dealing with Israel, which either fail to mention certain details and nuances, or, for example, change the chronology of things so that Israel becomes an aggressor, or fail to mention, you know, who are the aggressors, who are the victims, you know, if something happens, you know, God forbid, a suicide bomb, for example,
and
you just hear the word Palestinian or terrorism or Hamas or whatever is never mentioned in the headline.
Yes. Yes, no, absolutely. I see that all the time, and it's very distressing. It's very distressing, and we were looking at this last week, about the march that happened in Pretoria.
I am aware, and you know, I've got to pay tribute to the community.
Phenomenal!
For putting that together. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there were 5,000 people marching through the streets of Pretoria. It was astonishing. I got tears in my eyes just looking at all these people who supported the State of Israel and were such so committed to it. And there was virtually no coverage other than in the Jewish Report.
Well, absolutely.
Which I found very sad, because it was quite clear what that meant was that the media, the mainstream media, have clearly, you know, made their decision as to who's right and who's wrong.
Pat, I wanted to stop you there. I want to ask you this question, and I actually want to ask both of you the question, because I found it interesting. I write for News 24 every week, and so I feel a bit protective of them. They didn't cover it particularly, and the very, very same day put out a Sashi Naidu article. Now, what was interesting to me, and what part of my own rationalizing of this was, well, because BDS have a very, very nice media department. They write their statements along with photos of Sashi Naidu looking sad, send it off to News 24. It's very, very easy for them to publish it, whereas maybe covering the march is something they have to do fairly actively. Could it be simple constraints in terms of resources, maybe laziness, this type of thing that often means the wrong news is reported?
So my sense, I had Tali Feinberg actually contacting Anton Harbour, who was somebody I trust a lot in terms of media. Hmm. He's a bit of a mentor to me.
Right.
And his response was, could it not be that this was just another protest march in a country where there is too many protest marches, and protest marches aren't necessarily news? Had something
happened. Sadly.
In other words, had there been an incident there?
What's your thoughts on that, though, Petter? Do you accept that as a possible explanation?
So I do accept it as a possible explanation in the light of, probably 2 months ago, there was a anti-Israel march in KZN.
Right.
And I was a bit concerned because we had nobody to cover what was going on there.
Right.
And we kind of said, okay, well, let's see what happens on Monday. We'll see. And it was on a Saturday afternoon, which was also Shabbos, so we couldn't, you know, be there to cover it. And and we'd see what happens in the media. And honestly, there was one photograph in the media. So what can I say? I think that that is a possibility. And that Sashi Naidu is a human story.
Right.
As opposed to a protest march. And a human story that seems to have touched a nerve.
Right.
Whether we like it or not, and I can assure you, I certainly don't.
Right.
And I loved your column this week.
Thank you very much.
Even though I was cross with you, I really loved it.
You see, Pet has let it go completely, which is very nice.
I'm a Leo, Howard.
I know. That's why we have to have it out, and then it'll disappear. Simon, give us your view.
Well, I think you mentioned an interesting thing here, where is it that BDS is sending press releases everywhere, and these are being picked up? So I think yes and no. I actually heard from the bureau chief of a major wire service in Jerusalem. He was asked the question, Do you republish all these BDS, press releases? Do you act right. upon them when they send all sorts of stories, be they,
but half of them are made up.
Right. Well, exactly. Yeah. And he said that, look, most of the stuff is complete nonsense. I ignore most of it. They're just fishing. It's a case of really, fire as many bullets as possible and hope that one hits.
Right.
But essentially, he knows who these people are, and why it's not worth his time covering the vast, vast majority of the stories that they're pitching to him. But having said that, this is I'm talking about someone from a very, very credible wire service, a prominent one. But if you're talking about more local papers, more local media, and somewhere like South Africa, then it's a different situation altogether, I'm sure. And for those of you who actually do follow Honest Reporting, we just did. I just wrote something just the other week. In fact, I think it was this week, about something that appeared on the IOL website. And what was interesting about this particular story, I'm not going to go into the details, but it was taken from the African News Agency. It was republished. Now,
right.
I actually asked someone, is this a prominent African wire service? And someone said, I've never heard of it.
I was just going to say, I've never heard of it.
Well, maybe that tells a story in itself. The question being, why would IOL, which of course is, I believe, a mainstream media outlet here in South Africa, why would it republish this? But worse than that, this wire service, whatever it happens to be, had taken its story directly from a pro-Palestinian non-governmental organization that itself had interviewed some Palestinian Christian anti-Israel activists.
Oh, I saw that article. Right.
Right. Yes. So, I mean, even without us getting into the nitty-gritty about the article itself, the questions surrounding as to how on earth, we're talking, it really was third hand, so many degrees of separation before it actually got to the mainstream media that is IOL. And that was very, very disturbing for me looking at it from a journalistic perspective.
But IOL has had tremendous problems in the past. It's not unfamiliar territory.
No. And I do think, and it pains me because I spent many, many years in mainstream media. It pains me to see it, but I do think that editors have made decisions on whether they support Israel or the Palestinians, and so it goes on, and that's what they seem to follow.
Right.
I do. I mean,
from a South African perspective, do you see this? I want to juxtapose it against what Simon sees internationally. Do you see this as a trend in South Africa that is most likely to continue and actually get worse?
Unfortunately, I do. And the saddest thing is that it's journalists themselves who let their personal political views get in the way. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just worth noting that Cherise Zeffert originally wrote the piece in News 24.
Yes.
And then Sean Zaganoff used that in Above Board. Well, used the issue in Above Board about a journalist who was a Muslim woman. And she wrote about the march in a, well, she wrote about it in, in, honestly. It was honest reporting, and she was lambasted, and she put some a photograph on her Facebook site, and people lambasted her. I mean, there were people within her, well, her contemporaries who said that she should, if I'm not wrong, she should jump from a top story building for doing this because she reported as one is supposed to do, putting aside your own personal biases and report on a situation, a story. And she was lambasted.
But what's quite interesting is that there seems to be a few areas where there's almost a license not to do that. Simon, what's your thoughts?
Well, I think these things are almost self-perpetuating because we have a framework where, you know, Israel is seen as the bad guy. And, you know, which journalist is going to want to, you know, stick their head above the parapet and start producing content that is actually, you know, fair and balanced? Because, of course, you know, it's about choosing sides, it seems.
Right. Well, and is this a trend?
That's our training. That's my training as a journalist, is to tell the story and not give it my bias. Not say, you know, just because I think Sashi Naidu is whatever I think of her, it's irrelevant. I need to tell the story as it is, not in a way that shows that I despise her or dislike her or love her. You know, that's my job. That's my role. That's what I've, you know, been doing for 30 years and expect other journalists to do, because that's, as I said to Howard yesterday, the only thing we have as journalists is our integrity. And the minute you start letting your own bias you know, take over the stories you're writing, well, there it goes.
I think you, I mean, you sound, I mean, I'm glad to say, like a proper professional journalist, and clearly someone who's been in the industry a long time. I think what we're seeing today is a younger generation of people working in the media, who consider themselves to be advocates. We see advocacy journalism.
Aren't we also seeing with the whole, birth and explosion of the blog and of people's opinion, it's very, very hard to differentiate one from the other, because if you do look at the Fox News and CNN News, you actually, it's very, very difficult to ascertain what is news, what is slant, what is agenda, and what is basic reporting.
Well, there's comment, there's op-ed, and then there's news. And Howard, what you write is your opinion.
Oh, no, absolutely.
And people know that.
Yeah,
and that's absolutely above board and,
right.
And okay.
Because it's not pretending to be anything else.
It needs to be a news story.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But
right.
I agree. That's not what's happening. People have become advocacy journalists, which is, I find, quite dangerous.
Right, guys, I do need to have a bit of a break here. Time is 8:32. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem, your Balagamba Boker on 101.9 Chai FM. Joining us in studio, Simon Ploska. Simon, you're here for Limud.
I am indeed.
When are you talking?
I'm talking.
You sound exhausted. You haven't even started.
I know. It's been really exhausting already. And you got me up in the morning.
Got you up in the morning. 8 o'clock. And it's 9 o'clock in Israel.
I know. So I'm talking, tomorrow night, Motzei Shabbat. I'm doing, certainly one session on, photo bias. I'll also be talking on Sunday as well. Other sessions I'm doing, including more of a rounded view of Honest Reporting's work and media bias. And I'm also be doing something educational, looking at the 8 categories of media bias. So for those of you who, you know, look at an article and you think that there's something wrong with this, I don't, you know, but I can't put my finger on it.
We can
look at it from a sort of a more journalistic perspective. And I'll also be doing an Israel update as well. You know, the beauty of it being, of course, when I agreed to do that, I didn't know what was going to be in the news.
I'm exhausted listening to how much they've...
I'm even on a panel as well talking about the media. You know, I'm going to be a busy boy whilst I'm
here. It's the Simon Ploska Limud weekend, is it?
Well, I wouldn't quite say that.
Right, yes. Sounds absolutely fantastic, though. Is it your first time in South Africa?
It's my first time in South Africa, my first time in the Southern Hemisphere. You know, I've kind of found it very funny, amusing almost, hearing South Africans complaining that it's really cold here, it's winter, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm originally from the UK. This is like a normal British summer. What is going on?
Absolutely. I've been saying that all week. This is spring, and the I'm sticking to that narrative. It is very beautiful outside. Simon Ploska, you do fantastic work, and you can, Simon's on Chai FM every Tuesday afternoon. But go and look at their, go and look at their website, Honest Reporting, follow them on Twitter, and if you do see something that requires reporting in terms of bias, send it through to Honest Reporting, and they will, if they are able to, they will take it up. Good luck with for the weekend, and I certainly hope that our listeners take the opportunity to come and hear you, because I think what you have to say is phenomenal.
Thank you, and just, you know, just to say that I'm here to learn as well from the South African Jewish community about, you know, what's going on in your media and your relations with Israel, and of course, you know, other things such as BDS on the ground here. So, you know, I'm hoping to get a great deal out of my trip here, and I really hope that I'll be able to use this and actually cover a lot more South African media in the future.
I hope so. You know, Simon, before I let you go, I am going to ask you one more question. We've been speaking quite extensively this week about Jeremy Corbyn and about what is going on with the Labour Party in the United Kingdom, considering this this is the place of your birth. What do you think is likely to happen with regard to Jeremy Corbyn? Will there be enough of a groundswell to have him removed, and will lessons be learned?
I mean, I've heard from people who are genuine Labour activists on the inside that the chances of removing him right now are minimal. I think the problem is it's not necessarily that Corbyn is such a great draw to be, you know, be elected. It's more likely that the current British government screws up the Brexit negotiations,
right,
and as a protest vote, Labour and Corbyn get in. And I mean, I've heard from, you know, I've got a lot of friends and family clearly back in the UK. It's the first time I've ever heard people saying so openly that they are considering leaving in the worst case scenario. You know, it's time to head to Israel as the bolt hole. And who'd have thought that a few years ago?
Absolutely.
That's astonishing.
Absolutely astonishing. Really, it's always so interesting because, you know, South African Jews are a hairbreadth away from having that suitcase packed. We have been since about 1970, I would say. But to hear it from other parts of the world, of course, we hear it in Paris and France. You know, it is quite alarming. Simon Ploska, thank you for your time. Peter Cross-Maunder, editor of the South African Jewish Report. What's in the news? We know what your headline is. What else have you got for us?
So we also tackled Limud, which I know, and as we discussed yesterday, you tackled a lot this week, and we tackled the issue of the BDS supporters. But as I said to you, and I know you thought that this should have been our lead, but as I said to you, you did such a great job of it this whole week that it was hard to compete. And so what we did was we still wrote the story, and we got all the detail. We spoke to everybody, but we had it as our second lead, which was on page 3.
Right. Other articles?
And other articles, we look at this fake explosive in Vereeniging to see if it had anything to do with us. We looked at how the tension of the community, the Zimbabwean Jews, how are feeling incredibly tense. But going back to the situation in Britain, I don't know if you know that the British Conservative Party CEO is a South African-born Jew.
I had no idea.
Yes, his name is Sir Mick Davis, and he is a billionaire.
Of course, we know about Sir Mick Davis, right?
Yeah, and that's right. That's the guy. And so we speak to him about his thoughts on Britain, the anti-Semitism, the Labour Party, and he has very, very strong views about Israel, which people will and won't agree with. But what's interesting is he is a staunch Zionist, but he's very critical of the Netanyahu government. And he explains himself. He says, I have every right to be against Netanyahu.
Certainly.
I am a Zionist.
Absolutely.
And Israel is very important to me. So it was interesting. And then, do you remember last week there was that woman who sent in a message to you saying, what about, why hasn't the Jewish Report covered the death of Garen Bloch?
Yes.
Well, we did. And I'm very glad that we tackled it. And I thank that lady because, so Garen Bloch was an Olympic cyclist, and he was a legend in cycling. I mean, he'd won 16 South African national titles, set 4 national records, and was Maccabi Sportsman of the Year in 1994 to 1996. I mean, this man was a legend. I hadn't personally heard about him.
No, I haven't either. But that's incredible.
What happened is he fell off the rails and became a drug addict.
Right.
And had come out of this and was helping other addicts deal with their addiction when he had this terrible motorbike accident and was killed. So it's a really astonishing story.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So.
Incredible. All right. So I'm very, very pleased that one of our listeners did alert us to that story last week. Petacross, I do need to leave it there because it is a